faithfulness and be rewarded for their obedience and faithfulness to Christ. And then the second event we talked about last week is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is the event that will take place almost at the very end of the period of time that we're in heaven during the 7 years, right before Jesus comes back. So we'll get and we'll tie that in a little bit later. But we talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb and what all's involved in that. Okay. And so that brings us now to the second part of the tribulation, this second division, events on earth. And that's where we're going to look at tonight, beginning in chapter 6. And this is actually the largest part of the book of Revelation. More chapters in Revelation deal with this part, so we'll just leave the slide on that one here for just a minute, if you would, John. And in Revelation chapter 6 is when we begin seeing this. And if you'll stand to honor God's word, let's just read the first portion of this together and pray. And then we'll get into our time together. Revelation chapter 6 verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that sat on thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. When I heard the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou not hurt the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, behold, a pale horse, and the name on him that sat was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony of which they held. Let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Bless our time together as we study. Open our hearts to give us clear understanding about these incredible things in your word. Many things that still, Lord, I'm sure that we have questions about. But we know, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you can give us guidance and direction and answers. We pray, Lord, as we study this together, help us to be prepared, Lord, to be better faithful servants of thee. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Just a minute. Okay. The tribulation. Just the very mention of the words, the tribulation, and we have in our minds, if we've been in church, if we've heard documentaries, or if we've seen a movie about them, we know that this deals with some very terrible times and some very terrible events. And there is so much that is wrapped up in these 7 years of this time of tribulation. There's no question, according to the Word of God, that even our Lord Jesus promised in Matthew 24, that this world is going to experience a time of great tribulation, he says in Matthew 24, such as was not since the beginning of the world. But he said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that he promised to keep believers from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the whole world. You know, when you look upon some of the great tragedies of history, human history has known some terrible tragedies. The fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 killed over 1 million residents in the city of Jerusalem. The Black Plague that went across Europe, said to have killed over 9 million people through that Black Plague disease. World War I, said to have killed over 20 million. The devastation of World War II killed over 6, just through Hitler's Holocaust, 6 million Jews, 4 million Christians were killed, many of those from either Russia or Germany, and that's not counting all of the many soldiers that died in all the armies of the world. But the scriptures give more space to this one prophetic event than all others. In fact, the time of the tribulation period is mentioned 39 times just in the Old Testament prophets. They call it terms like this, a time of Jacob's trouble. It's called tribulation. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. In the New Testament, terms like the day of the Lord, the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb, describe this seven-year period of tribulation. In fact, you could even say that the time of the 7 years of tribulation is very easily divided in two portions, 3.5 years each. And you see on your chart that was given you tonight how that divides it up, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. That second 3.5 years is actually referred to as the Great Tribulation, because it will be so devastating, nothing in this world has ever come close. Chapters 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation describe the events that will come upon this world during that time. Now, for the purpose of our study, I could take probably the next 6 weeks to try to go through all of these events. I'm not going to attempt to do that. I don't want to. That's not the purpose of our Sunday night study. I want to give you a good overview and an understanding of all of these events and how they fit together. But I think it's important because it's so vast, so much is involved. I looked hard and through all my notes and through my study resources and found the chart that you have in front of you. It comes from the Prophecy Study Bible that I'm using, that was edited by Dr. Tim LaHaye, who many of you remember the name from the Left Behind series of books and movies, and he went to heaven not too long ago. This chart is from his study Bible. That study Bible is out of print, and so and only way that I could get a copy of this was just to do it the way we did it tonight. I have, and I did make a slide. Thank you, John. I did make a slide. So for the purpose of helping us to understand these events of tribulation, I'm going to take just tonight and next Sunday night and to just give you an understanding of what is going to happen as described in the Bible during this period of tribulation. Now, understand this. Don't forget, where are all believers in Christ that were saved before the rapture? Where are they during this time? In heaven. Hallelujah. All right. So we're not going to be here. All right. And so that's what's indicated there. Let's see. I've got my laser point. Yeah, it's working now. All right. Now, when we look at this, the time of the tribulation begins immediately at the rapture of the church. So when the church is raptured up, now just imagine millions upon millions of people immediately vanish from this earth, raptured into heaven. The only people left are unbelievers. No children. All children are raptured up because they haven't been old enough to accept Christ, so they're taken up. So now you've got this chaos around the world. That sets up what I just read in chapter 6. These, as they're called, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You could, I remember Dr. Billy Graham, one of the early books I read on prophecy was his book on that, and describing the four horsemen. And they are described here in the first of the seven seals of these judgments that will take place. This chart, what you have in your hand, and I'm just going to point out, is broken up in looking at seven seals judgments, the seven trumpet judgments. There are seven key figures, we'll mention those. There are seven vials or bowls of judgments that are poured out that will start the second half of the tribulation. And then he describes here on his chart understanding the doom of Babylon, and we'll explain that as we get to that, what that means. But these four horsemen are the beginning of the tribulation period. Immediately after the church, there will come on the scene. Somebody has got to get this world in order on the earth. Somebody is going to come on the scene politically. Someone is going to come and lead the people who are left to keep them from an all-out war on each other. There'll be great famine, there'll be great war, but there'll also be a time of peace. This is the person of the Antichrist. This is the person who's going to set himself up as a key political world leader. He will set up a one world government. There'll be a one world currency. There'll be all of these things in order to help bring the world into what was a chaotic time of millions of people vanishing. Now, they will set up a time. In fact, one of the things that will take place, 2 Thessalonians describes this. Daniel describes this. This Antichrist is going to make peace with Israel. He will negotiate a peace treaty with the nation of Israel and will even set up and allow, get this now, the Jews to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now there's a problem there. If you know where the old temple was, at the site of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which I've been right there, I've taken pictures, you know that there's a Muslim mosque that's there, a Dome of the Rock. That is the site which believed that Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him in Genesis 22. And the temple was built there. As the Muslims conquered Jerusalem, they tore down the temple. They built this Muslim religious place that we all know the symbol of it very well. In order for the Jerusalem temple, the Jewish temple to be built in Jerusalem, what's got to be torn down? And what are you going to get when that happens? But this Antichrist is going to negotiate that. This is the power of the Antichrist. And he's going to negotiate that. And there's going to be a new temple built in Jerusalem. But at the middle of the second half of the tribulation period, he is going to break that peace treaty. 2 Thessalonians describes it. Daniel describes it as the abomination of desolation. He will set himself up as God in the Jerusalem temple, in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, and from that point on will be the great tribulation, and that's when all the terrible stuff will take place. But in the first part of the tribulation, there is going to be things like earthquakes. There's going to be things like hail and fire and blood, mountains burning, the stars, the sun smitten, locust plagues. All of those kinds of things are going to take place. You find those mentioned here in these first portions of Revelation. But there's one thing that I want to mention to you that is not a judgment or a devastating part of this. But it is in chapter 7. You're in chapter 6. Let's look at the beginning of chapter 7. Because in the middle of all this, we see something. It's known as the 144,000 witnesses. During the time of this, God is going to send 12,000 Jewish witnesses from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they will be the evangelists during the tribulation period. During that time, many will come to Christ. There will be a time of the working of the Holy Spirit as described in the book of Joel chapter 2, unlike anything that's ever seen before. These witnesses will be protected during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. They will be given the opportunity to share the gospel, especially to the Jews. Especially to the Jews. That's their main focus there. And the message of Christ as the Messiah and accepting Him as Savior, there will be one of the greatest evangelistic, soul-winning awakenings ever in the history of the world will take place during the first 3.5 years of tribulation. These 144,000 witnesses will be the enemy of the Antichrist. They'll do everything they can to stop them, but God will protect them miraculously during that period of time. But by the end of the first 3.5 years, they will eventually will all be martyred. And that is when the worst of the tribulation will take place. What's very interesting is this, that in the midst of all the judgment that is going to take place, in fact, during the first 3.5 years, and I've got written down here, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, 1/2 of the world's population will die. When you add up all these judgments that are described here, and 1/2 of the world's population will die of those folks who are left here. But in the middle of all that, God in His grace and His mercy is still giving people an opportunity to come and accept Him as Savior. These are the martyrs that are described in the later part of Revelation. Now, during this, the Antichrist, the great peacemaker, is setting up his one world government. He's setting up his one world currency. He's bringing nations together. There will also be someone else, and that will be a false prophet that will rise up. This will be the religious leader of the world. He'll bring all the religions together and set up a one world religion that will eventually be focused on worshiping the Antichrist. Okay? So all of these things are going to be taking place. And in the middle of it, 144,000 witnesses are sharing the gospel around the world. And all of these key figures, all of this is going to take place. And yet, in the middle of all of it, I want you to understand something. God's in control of every bit of it. This is exactly the way God is laying it out. Now, understand that all of these things, I have enough notes in my file that we went through two semesters of studying all the details, and I've got notes that thick going through every bit of this stuff in detail. Now, you imagine my struggle trying to find a way to summarize it in two 20-minute Sunday night services, okay? So, y'all bear with me, all right? I'll do the best that I can. But here's what I want you to get from this part of it tonight. First of all, understand this. Praise the Lord, we're not going to be here. Secondly, sadly, there are going to be many people who are going to be left behind. That is where we have to be very diligent about the names in this basket and others who do not know Christ. Because it's going to be too late. For people who have never heard, for people who have rejected the gospel, they will be led, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians, they'll be led to believe a lie. And they will follow the Antichrist and not accept. But many people who've never heard, many people who are left behind who've never heard the gospel, are going to be witnessed to by these witnesses. And they're going to have an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. But they're going to have to live through this truth. And anyone who comes to know Christ during the tribulation period, according to this, will all be martyred. I mean, they will even go back to the days of the guillotine in some areas, I'm sure. Now, we need to take from this, as terrible and horrible as this is, God is in control. God is leading up to a great return that we're going to talk about next week as we end up the last part of the tribulation, and how this will end up and lead us to the Battle of Armageddon, the return of Christ, and all of those things that will take place to lead us into the millennial kingdom. But understand this, and this is where I want to close tonight. I have a hard time studying and preparing messages like this without tears. This week in my office, as I was studying, preparing for these things, and this afternoon as I got up here, not as early as I wanted to, but when I got up here, I began to weep, and I began to be broken. Because there are people who have rejected the gospel, who've heard me preach, that if the rapture were to take place today, they'd have to live through this. And many of them will die in the tribulation. And many of them will suffer because they've rejected the gospel. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't know what it's going to take for believers in this culture, in this day, to get serious about witnessing for Christ. I have no idea what it's going to take. We're approaching a day in the United States of America where we're losing our religious freedoms quicker than we could ever imagine. There'll be a day where we'll face decisions. And if Jesus doesn't come back soon, we could be facing a culture and an area that many of our brothers and sisters have lived through for generations. Of religious persecution, religious oppression. But this study of these events should cause us to be so burdened for those lost family members, those lost friends. And we should be sending more missionaries to the foreign fields. We should be sending out more evangelists into this country and around the world. We should spend more time doing more witnessing than we ever have before, because this day is getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus coming back. And when he does, all of these events will quickly happen, and all the events of the world. But it's going to happen just exactly like God said. And he's in control of every bit of it. But folks, we need to be broken. And when we study things like this, and I have to keep my mind on the fact of looking forward to what's coming after the tribulation's over, because it's going to be the greatest day in the history of the world. But before the end, it's the worst days. And there are people who are going to be, who rejected us at school, who've rejected us in our workplaces, who've rejected the gospel, who are going to suffer unimaginable suffering in this world. That day is coming, and that day could be soon. So we should be burdened. We should be broken. We should be busy about serving God, because we don't want anybody to go through the Great Tribulation. These events will happen. These events will come. So much about these events in chapter 6 through 19, there's a lot of things that are symbolic. But let me help you understand why, and I'll close with this. Remember that John the Apostle is writing in what year? AD 96, AD 95. He is talking about events that are still future to our day today, maybe in the near future. But could you imagine someone in first century AD describing nuclear war? Armies of tanks and ships and planes and missiles. Could you imagine somebody describing that? Many of the symbolic things you see is very much that. Because how do you describe that to a first century person that John was writing to in that day? So don't get caught up and don't get lost and don't get bogged down in some symbolism that you don't seem to understand. Just know this: God's got a plan. God's fulfilling his plan to perfection and in his perfect timing. We must be ready. We must share the gospel. We must get the word out. And we must do what we can to take as many of us as can be ready to go up in the rapture when Jesus comes. Let's pray together. Let's stand as we close our service tonight. Choir will be coming to begin their practice here in just a moment. I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Father, I just pray tonight. Lord, it's so difficult sometimes just to spend the hours of study and preparation for a message like this without being broken. To think of millions of souls that will go out into eternity still rejecting your message, still rejecting your love, still rejecting your grace. Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why people don't want to be saved. I don't know why church members and people who are saved won't witness and won't share their faith. I don't know why. But oh God, I pray, as these days get closer, Lord, we need to be burdened and broken for the lost of this community, the lost of thisness of the people in our culture. Lord, it's not about religion. It's not about keeping a list of do's and don'ts. It's about a personal relationship with Christ. The same Jesus that died on the cross and rose again is the same Jesus that's going to take us to heaven. It's the same Jesus that's going to come back at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, in the middle of all that, there's going to be great devastation and great tribulation. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us have a desire and a burden to see people come to know Christ. Help us to reach teenagers and young people with the gospel. Help us to reach adults and, Lord, who have never heard, never understood, or who have rejected for so many years. Oh God, I pray, give us a burden. And as we study these things, and Lord, as we scratch our heads sometimes and wonder how and what if and how this is going to take place and how this will work out, Lord, let us not be so concerned about those kinds of details, but Lord, let us be more concerned about the lost souls that need to hear the gospel. Use us, Lord, as witnesses for you. Lord, in this day, in this hour that's so critical, bless our church, Lord. Thank you for the way you've blessed us. Thank you for the opportunities that lie before us. And give us, Lord, the wisdom and direction that you have us to be. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.